I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Ooh. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so
fun.
And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus minisodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part.
Hi, Hannah Rooney. Hannah Rooney. Is that your name?
Married to Wayne Rooney? Mickey Rooney?
I hope
Rooney.
Not. He's into much older ladies, apparently.
I don't think I have any footballer's type, to be fair. But hello.
That is not true. Hello. Sally Rooney? You could be married or related to.
Yeah. I'm more that kind of sad Irish girl vibe.
We're all sad Irish girls.
So emotional.
Is Rooney a common Irish surname?
Not really. I mean, maybe. Who knows?
I don't know, mate. Who'd be an expert?
I don't know, man.
If we get an Irish person on the show,
I feel like it's kind of an American-y Irishy name. You know what I mean? One of those.
Yeah.
Let's move on before I get like the Central Statistics Office like beating down my door,
revoking your passport.
Yeah, she's not a real one. My deepest fear is always that I'm not Irish enough. Did we arrive at the deepest fear section of the show?
I haven't written any of mine down to share, but you know, how long you got?
We're getting festive and we've talked about sad Irish girls and deepest.
Let me tell you, I got a lot of Christmas trauma. So.
He's looking forward to Christmas, guys. No, tis the season.
It is the season.
I'm really feeling it this year. I feel like I need the cheer of Christmas. I didn't decorate my flat last year, but I'm going to do it this year. I sent Vic a picture of a ridiculous wreath that I bought earlier that nobody will ever see in my front door because it's inside another one. Like two people max. I think maybe I might be doing it to compete with the neighbour who has a wreath on the next door, but mine's bigger. Oh. How big's your wreath? How big
next
is
year
your
wreath? We've definitely replaced how band deep name of the week with "How Deep Is Your Love" renditions.
And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Next year, Hannah will be telling you about how she's been to a wreath making workshop.
I honestly looked them up so much. They're expensive, though.
They are expensive. We should talk to our friend Paula, who works for a very popular letterbox flower company, and see if she can get in.
Is this your formal request? We can't just send her a text.
can we?
Let's just give me a look.
But she's more likely to pay attention if we broadcast it.
Yeah, that's true.
Millions.
Millions. Do you hear that, sponsors? Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah, I am. I am spending it at the in-laws.
Nice.
And I have a son, as you all know by now.
Baby Jesus.
But
he did arrive close to baby Jesus's.
He did. He was due on Christmas Eve, but he did not. So he'll be two just before Christmas, which is fun. And he's like very much fun. Mm. I bought us all as a family Christmas pajamas, which I gave to everyone last night. So it's early December. So I gave, because I was like, oh, we can wear them while we're like putting a tree up. Aww. And stuff. I thought it was cute.
That is cute. How cheesy.
And so
did
he had
go?
His first like present. Oh, so it haven't matched.
Okay.
Us.
Okay, good.
And that is mostly because when I was buying them, the only men's ones they had in stock were all in XXXXL.
Stephen is not.
No, but he is about to go to Japan for a week, so he'll tell you that maybe he'll come back and be able to fit in those ones. So I got us all different ones. So I've got these like fleecy ones with like brightly coloured festive things on.
Nice.
Stephen's got a festive polar bear pattern.
Lovely.
On his.
Yeah.
And Marcus has got Toy Story 4, but make it festive.
Nice. Everyone with differing briefs. I like it. But
yeah.
They're under the pyjamas.
Yeah. They're under the pyjamas. I didn't buy any Christmas briefs. But yeah, so I am feeling Christmassy. You are definitely, because you've got a wreath. What are you cooking?
What am I cooking?
This year? Are you cooking? Will you be cooking?
I usually play sous chef to my sister, who's an incredible cook. So she is very much this year of the view that we as women spend too much time in the kitchen, which is very true. And my brother-in-law and dad sit in the living room and get to play with the kids and stuff. So this year we're going as much like pre-made stuff as we can.
Love that.
Because it's good, right? Like you can get really good stuff. And then we'll do like the traditional stuff. I might do like a nice veggie main. My boy Artalengi had like a rice pie thing in The Guardian this weekend, which I thought looked nice.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I was going to text you about that. I thought it looked great.
It did.
I might just make that for fun.
Yeah. And Anna Jones always has really good veggie mains. I think she emailed one about like a vegan main the other day as well. So I'm going to peruse some of those. But it always has to be something that I make up like in the morning or the day before. So you just like bung it in the oven. And then you get to do the nice things and not spend the day slaving in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Even though we like slaving
in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. I just don't like it when it comes with like a gender agenda.
Yes.
Agenda.
And you're missing out on like enjoying the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Like you've got lots of kiddies around and like, you know, that the point of Christmas really is right? And their enjoyment.
Yeah.
So if you're stuck missing all that, yeah, I get it.
Does your MIL do all the cooking?
My SIL is going to be doing the cooking.
Nice.
And my BIL.
Nice.
So
Bills. Silly Billies.
The Silly Billies. That is great. I'm going to call them that.
TM Hannah.
Am I? TM Hannah. They'll hear this. So, good luck, Sophie and Simon, because I'm going to be calling you the Silly Billies, thanks to Hannah now. So they offered to cook. I have offered to do breakfast for the day.
Nice.
And I think it won't be anything too heavy. Actually, we, as you know, everybody, we do a little bit of recipe development on the side for our friends over at Stolen Stitches. And the December recipe that we're doing, I might actually make that for breakfast.
Yes.
Which is kind of like a bread which has various fruits and
festive-y, stuff in, so. Wintry fillings.
Yeah. It looks like a wreath, doesn't it?
Not gonna hang that one
on
my door.
I might do that. I'm also on on coffee. I've said I will take the coffee, obviously, role for the day. And as of this weekend, I offered to make the gravy in advance.
Nice.
And you will all be shocked to hear that I will be making the Jamie Oliver chicken wing one.
Oh, my God.
Because it bangs. My mom has made it previously for Christmas. Everybody raves about it.
What do you do with the chicken
wings? And
it
can be done ahead. I think you just buy chicken wings and then you like roast them all up.
So get all the fatty.
Yeah, you get all the fat and sauce and all that stuff and make it into a gravy. I'm not quite sure. I haven't looked at it. But that seems like a good thing that I'm able to do ahead of time.
Nice. Are you...
Because I do feel quite fussy about gravy.
A lot of mediocre gravy out there, isn't there?
There is.
It's not the one when it's watery and drab.
No, or like just too salty or too like artificially flavoured if you've made it from like powder.
No, absolutely not.
On the other side of things, I only want stuffing made from Paxo powder.
Is that right?
Don't give me fancy stuffing. Not interested. Are you a fancy stuffing girl?
I like making my stuffing from scratch, yes. Obviously not sausage meat, because frankly, even as a meat eater, that freaked me out. But yeah, I like a nice breadcrumby, herby one. I don't think it's an essential, but it's like, yeah, I guess it's one of those like little side jobs that I like to pick up. That again, you can just like pre-make and shove in the oven, because you just like, I just make it up and like in a big like foil packet and just like tuck it in wherever there's room. It's not actually going inside a bird.
Exactly. I don't think, does anybody put stuffing or eat stuffing from inside a bird?
Wayne Rooney. That's what I heard. Yes. So,
allegedly.
Cookbook Circle legal team.
I don't want to get sued by Colleen Rooney. She's been there now. She knows what to do.
Hannah at the Cookbook Circle. But I also think it's important to say that Christmas isn't fun for everyone and you don't have to love it. And it can be really, you know, this is the first one without my mum. Obviously, we like to keep things light on this podcast, but, you know, for everyone, it can be, for a lot of people, it can be really shit, and it can be a time when you're grieving or you're, like, missing someone, so I think just lean into that if you're those kind of people. Make those coffees Irish, crack open the celebrations early, use all the pre-made food, and just, lay in it.
Enjoy all that pre-made food, because it's only available this time of year. I love all those like picky bits that you can and just throw in the oven.
Yeah.
And I lived off that stuff just after Marcus was born, because it was Christmas and you need stuff you can eat with one hand because you're holding a baby. Don't worry. You don't have to. Also, you know, standard thing to say that social media isn't real. All those people aren't having the most festive, beautiful, romantic Christmas with their families. I wrapped up our pajamas last night, and Marcus like ripped the thing and then just carried on ripping the paper and then walked off to go and do something else. Didn't even look at his pajamas. Like it's not like it is in the movie.
It never is.
He couldn't care less.
I'll never forget my the worst family Christmas of all time, possibly. There's a few up there, but one where my entire family got norovirus.
Oh no, yeah.
And maybe I've talked about this on the podcast before, but my sister had like pre-prepared loads of food, but then this was before the norovirus struck. And then everyone was so unwell for like a couple of days. And then it hit me a bit later because I'd arrived a bit later. And I just have picture of her like throwing loads of like pre-breaded like camembert and stuff that she'd done, these like little wedges of camembert to be fried with like a couple of sauce, just throwing them in the bin, and it was just like so much food waste. It was just oh my god, catastrophic is not the word. But anyway, on to the theme of the episode.
Gingerbread.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is a gingerbread episode, but we're loath to call it an ultimate episode because we've tried a few different recipes each. I think we'll probably review those independently and just call out our favourites. Also, I don't love like a gingerbread man or a gingerbread house. That kind of crunchy. What are you laughing at?
I don't know. Just the thought of that. I do not like gingerbread men. Like, I mean, men in general, let alone gingerbread.
The gingerbread men are sitting in the living room while the gingerbread women are out making the entire dinner in the gingerbread house. I don't like any of it. No, I don't like that gingerbread, though, that kind of snappy, crunchy, with all the icing. So this is more like riffs on gingerbready themes, I think. That will be the name of the episode. Yeah. Riffs on a theme.
Riffs on a theme with gingerbread women.
But yes, tell us about what you...
Well, I made...
looked at.
So, yeah, we all looked around. The thing is, I think, of all the gingerbread biscuits you can have a look at, all the cakes, and, you know, obviously there's different types. There's, like, a cakey type, there's the biscuit type, there's the, like, harder biscuit type that you're talking about that you, like, generally see. That a lot of it's much of a muchness. Like, it's quite similar recipes. Like, there's not that much difference.
No.
And so we tried to look for ones that are a little bit different or a little bit interesting, but still on the gingerbread theme. So I made two cakey ones because I'm definitely more into the cakey type.
Yeah.
And I did a Nigella one and a Claire Saffitz one. Both... just babes, you know, gingerbread women.
Doug's growling in agreement.
That we love. Yeah.
he loves it. Nigella.
So. I mean, him and many other people across the world, I believe, have that reaction.
I don't blame
them. So the first one I made was the Nigella one, and it's her kind of sticky gingerbread with lemon icing. Nice. And it's from the book that we've done on the podcast, How to Be a Domestic Goddess.
Yes. So when you say a sticky gingerbread, is it like a loafy thing or is it like a biscuity thing? A softy biscuit.
It's a loaf. It's a cakey. It's not, you bake it in just like a 9x13 kind of cake tin, baking tin. So it's more like a sheet cake. And it's actually in the school fate section of How to Be a Domestic Goddess.
Oh my God, I forgot about the school fate section.
Yeah, so it's not in the Christmas section and it's not in the children's section. It's in the, well, I guess it's the children, the school fate one.
Being a domestic goddess.
It's because it's
multidimensional.
Yeah. Yeah, she said she makes it, she made it for her kids, you know, I don't know when this book came out, I can't remember, but yeah. And it's a very simple recipe, actually. So you start by melting butter, sugar, golden syrup, and treacle, along with cinnamon and ginger. But the ginger in this one is fresh ginger.
Fresh, like root.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it's funny the way she describes it in the book, because obviously ginger wasn't commonly used that much back when she wrote that, but she's like, you know, it's good to use it in recipes that aren't of a pan-Asian flair to see how it goes. So it's fresh ginger.
Nice.
So you mix that all together until it's kind of combined.
Yeah.
You know, after you've waited 400 hours for the treacle or molasses if you're in America to kind of fall off the spoon.
My pet peeve is, are these tins of of trees yes. for that molasses or whatever the hell. Like, how do you keep them clean? How do you, they yes. just like, they, even when you run water and then they inevitably have like a little sticky rinse at the yes. bottom.
I covered mine in cling film for all these bloody gingerbreads, like oh. the after I'd finished.
Good idea.
But then you have to keep doing that because I made so much gingerbread. And they just, it's just so... They do squeezy golden syrup, but they don't do squeezy treacle.
Squeezy treacle.
Squeezy treacle. That's my band name of the week. So, yeah, anyway, that annoys me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you mix those all together. You take it off the heat and you add milk, beaten eggs, mm. and a little slurry that you've made of, like, 2 teaspoons of bicarb in...
Ooh.
In a tablespoon of water.
Oh, nice.
Does it zhuzh? To mix in with that.
Does it
zhuzh a little bit. The Claire Saffitz one did a similar thing, but you just put like raw bicarb in there. And it, nice. She said it's supposed to foam. It didn't foam loads, but it did a bit.
Quite heavy. It's quite a heavy lift for the bicarb.
Heavy lift for the bicarb.
Was it
bicarb? Said only by...
it's there just trying to get this heavy old treacle up with some, you know, fizzy little bubbles. It's got a lot of work to do. I feel sorry for it, okay?
Oh, poor baby bicarb. And then, so you've got that kind of wet mixture, and then you've measured your flour into a bowl and just add your wet ingredients into the flour
nice.
And mix, add it to the pan. She says bake it for 45 minutes to an hour, which she calls in the book 3/4 to 1 hour. Like she uses it. Yeah, cheers. But you, until it's like firm, but still, but golden on the top, but you don't want it to be like really, really overcooked because you want it to be sticky.
Yeah.
Which is a difficult thing to like tell because you can't put like a stick in it to see if it's done because you want it to be sticky. So it's difficult.
Put a stick in me, I'm done. But that's the same with all these. It was the same for the ones I did because they're brown anyway. It's really hard to tell.
So I just did like 45 minutes and just kept an eye on it.
Nice.
So you take that out and then whilst you're doing that, you kind of make... Or like, no, you leave that to cool because mm-hmm. you're going to make this icing, which is actually the most simple thing. But I think it really elevated it.
To the next level.
So you mix some fresh lemon juice into your icing sugar.
Yeah.
I think it's like 2 tablespoons or 1 tablespoon. Can't remember. Into quite a lot of icing sugar and whisk it until it's thick. And then you've got like your water on hand that you're kind of putting little bits in until you've got like a thick but you know spreadable icing sugar and it's like fresh and lemony, so you just and then you just put that on top of the cake with a palette knife or whatever and then I also zested my lemon onto it for a bit of zhuzh because it's not a very pretty cake.
No, and you zest your lemon wherever you want.
Thanks babe. I just need someone to give me permission to zest my lemon, you know?
No, none of these are. It's very hard to be pretty as a ginger.
Yes, and then she even says that. She's like, I made this icing not only because it adds flavour, but also because if you're trying to sell a cake at a school fete that's brown like that but not chocolate, it's not going to sell. So you need something to make it look pretty.
Did she use any kind of decadent Nigella-esque language in the intro or in the... Or was it distinctly vanilla?
Not that I can remember. I don't have the book right here with me. I've just got my notes written down. But it's quite a short recipe.
Disappointing. I wanted her to, you know...
Yeah.
Talk about the syrupy, golden-y...
Yes.
Oozing... Oozing is not a very sexy word, is it?
Oozing. Maybe. Well, maybe.
This is why my cat line is never taken off. I sound more like I'm talking about a wound.
your little, like, you know, those little cards that like sex worker has hang out at hand out in London. Like yours would have Nigella on it. Yeah. They call and get you saying Uzi in your Irish accent.
Harry it out. You've come to the right place.
It was good. I actually, I liked the icing. I thought the icing added a very like nostalgic like twist to it. It tasted like something you would eat at for like a school dinner.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, yeah.
And it just took away the richness of all of that sugar. Sugar, golden syrup and treacle, that's like a lot.
Holy mother.
Yeah, and it didn't feel that sticky, but it was nice. The flavors were nice. It's nice to have that fresh ginger in there. And it was quick. So if you just want to do it and, yeah, you know, you've got to feed a crowd with it. And, you know, icing sugar and lemon juice was
simple.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
So, yeah, it is. And it's available online. It's not on Nigella's website, but I found it on some other people's websites too, which is good. But, yeah, it was nice. It was a good, simple, fairly traditional, I guess, cakey recipe.
You don't like tea, do you? That sounds like it would go nicely with a cup of tea.
Yeah, I don't like tea, no.
I'm sure.
But I imagine it might. Yeah, coffee as well.
Yeah, coffee.
You got those?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, hot drink. Any hot drink. Anyone. And then the second one I made was also a like cakey sheet pan one, and it was Claire Saffitz, and it's in her book What's for Dessert, which is the follow-up to Dessert Person, which we did on the pod last year which we loved.
Mm-hmm.
And we just continue to love Claire Saffitz, and I just knew that she would have some kind of gingerbread recipe, and
she came through.
I looked in Dessert Person because I was sure that she had a Christmas, anyway, doesn't matter, but yeah, found this, and it's called Sticky Pumpkin Chestnut Gingerbread Cake.
Wow. She's
no, I think it's just Sticky Pumpkin Chestnut gingerbread is the thing that it is.
Full house on Christmas bingo.
I know, and that's what she says. Like, she's like, oh, this is like fall, you know, or the comforting of fall desserts all in one.
Nice.
Because it's essentially a gingerbread with a sticky toffee glaze.
Ooh, okay, nice.
Yeah, a pumpkin chestnut gingerbread with like a sticky toffee bread. So genius. It's not difficult, but it's a bit involved.
Right.
So you get like so it's a 9x13 pan that you're going to cook it in, and you have to, she says you have to line just the bottom.
Right.
So cut it to, you know, with a baking paper, so cut it to size and then smooth out the air bubbles and oil the whole pan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is because of the glaze, so it doesn't soak too much into the sides when you put it on the top. So it, yeah.
She has a reason. You just have to trust Claire. She always has a reason.
Yeah, I don't question it. I just did it. And then you've got, it's like 170 grams of chestnuts, like cooked from a bag or, you know, tin or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have to cook these chestnuts again in molasses and water. So treacle and water on the hob covered for like 12 to 15 minutes until they're like mashable.
Oh, okay.
And she says to mash them. So the chestnuts so that they are no bigger than a pea, but don't mash them into a paste because they add that kind of texture to the cake.
Right, okay.
Which is nice. Do you like chestnuts?
Yeah, chestnuts can be a funny one, can't they? I feel like they can be quite divisive. I fully hate water chestnuts that you get in like your Chinese takeaway sometimes. I think they're absolutely horrendous. But I don't mind chestnuts. Well, we had to cook with them a lot when I was in Paris. Ding, 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 ding. And one of our exam pieces was like this horrendous chestnut mousse cake that looked like a hedgehog, which I might just put on our Instagram so people can laugh at
Please.
It. But it was just layers of like chestnut mousse, and I think there was like chestnut meringue or something, and then you had to put more. It was brown and spiky. It looks like something you'd like trip over in the woods. And we got it. We got it in the exam, and it was like fully terrifying, but I think I did okay if memory serves. So yeah, chestnuts carry a lot of France memories for me. But yeah, I don't mind.
I like chestnuts. Like if they, yeah, I think it's if they're cooked properly and in the right thing. Japan also likes a chestnut flavour thing.
Don't marron, they like those, like,
which I guess is the Japan, the French word, right?
Yeah. Don't they do those syrupy ones on sticks?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that sounds right.
I had them in Kyoto, I think, and they're amazing. Yeah.
Lots of like, chestnut flavoured things, I guess, this time of year because
you go. Festive.
Not that big in the UK, I would say.
No, they're just normal size. Not... Sorry. I'm really sorry. I've cracked a joke.
Don't eat conkers, though. They are bad for you. And, you know, the conkers from the tree are the bad for you. They are not chestnuts.
I've got I've got a conker in, like, nearly every coat pocket. I love collecting conkers.
Do you? Yeah. That is so cute. That is the cutest thing I've ever heard you say.
It's really lame. And every time I stick my hand into my pocket and I find one, you have to say, conker.
Who do you say that to?
Nobody. Nobody's around. Oh. I just do it for myself.
Oh, that's so nice. So would you say that you just like running your hand over smooth balls in your pocket?
Preferably those of gingerbread men.
That's what they're doing when they're sitting watching the TV. Running their hands over their conkers.
Oh my God, we've taken
a
filthy turn.
Claire would not love this. I feel like she would be angry at us for interrupting her lovely recipe.
Sorry, Claire. Back to your chestnuts. No bigger than a pea.
No bigger than a pea, smashed up, cooked in your molasses. And then you add your baking soda, like I said before, and that's supposed to, it's raw though, you just raw dog that right in. and then it foams up, and then you also add the rest of your wet ingredients. So you add some, a can of pumpkin, which I had. Also, I've written in my notes here, I've written the word pumpkin, but I've spelt pumpkin.
The finest of pumpkin.
So a can of like pumpkin puree, fresh ginger in this one as well, a tablespoon of fresh ginger grated, and vanilla, you know, essence.
you know.
That stuff.
Yeah.
So then you leave it to cool. In a bowl, obviously, and then you mix your dry ingredients, which are flour, cinnamon, cloves, nutmeg, baking powder, and salt.
That is, very full, very pumpkin spice latte,
isn't it? Yeah, I didn't have any ground cloves, so I just microplaned a few cloves.
Did you have any fingernails left at the end? I was going to say this. It really irritates me about ground cloves because they don't exist as a pre-ground thing. So you have to grind them yourselves. And normally it's like a really small amount. So it's like,
you microplane them.
Yeah. You don't want to do that shit in a mortar and pestle. A mortar and pestle give me kind of a funny, you know, when they're that kind of.
Yeah, scratchy. Ooh. Yeah, this recipe, it's quite a big recipe, and it was an eighth of a teaspoon of cloves.
Yeah.
And I was like, does anyone even like cloves? Like, they taste like the dentist. Like, ugh. Anyway, but I did it for the pod. Anything for the pod.
So kind.
And then with your electric mixer or your stand mixer, you beat eggs and sugar, four eggs and 250 grams of sugar, I think, until moussey.
Moussey? Is it moussey? Moussey.
Shout out to our next door neighbours, Kate and Ewan, whose dog is called Moose. Absolute babe. We love him.
That's a great dog name.
And our neighbours.
Moose.
And then you add oil, like stream some oil in.
Right.
Slowly to make that emulsified. And then it's all time for it to come together. So you put the wet ingredients into the moussey.
Into the moussey.
And mix those until they're just combined, and then you put the dry ingredients in and mix until there's no flour remaining. Tip it into a pre-prepared pan, bake it until it's ready, 30 minutes. Bake it until it's cooked. Did you come here for insight? Because I baked it till it's cooked.
You bake it till it's cooked.
And then you take it out. And whilst you're baking it, you make the little sticky toffee pudding top, which is you boil
dates?
Butter and brown sugar.
Oh, interesting.
Is it butter? Yeah, butter and brown sugar. Boil that up.
Right.
And then take it off the heat. Butter, brown sugar, and water. A little bit of water.
Right.
So that's all mixed up together. And then you take it off the heat and add in a load of double cream.
Of course.
Yep. And then back on the heat for that to just, like, get on a boil until it's, like, reduced.
Syrupy and creamy.
Yeah.
Toffee-ish.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
Off the heat, throw some salt in there, and then it goes on the top Ooh. Of your cake. You just, you have to, like, poke holes in your cake. You put that over the top. And then she's, like, on purpose, she has extra sauce because she wants you to serve it with the sauce.
Of course you do, Claire. Hot. Of course you do.
Yeah, and she's like, serve it warm. Like, you know in her book she's like, can I make this ahead? And she's like, basically no.
Okay.
You should serve it warm. She says, ideally not, but she does give ideas of how to, like, reheat it because it should be warm and then you've got the extra.
So it's more like a pudding-y topping. Kind of, like, literally like a pudding-y, like, sticky toffee pudding or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you want me to say pudding more or?
Please,
pudding.
Just makes me feel nice because that's what, you know, Hannah calls me behind closed doors.
Pudding is one of my preferred nicknames, usually for a child.
Oh.
But you are like my child.
I was one once. and this is great.
I bet. That sounds really good.
So nice. It sounds way more involved than it is. Like, it's not difficult. It's just there's lots of different bits you've got to do. And obviously, if you're in this country, it can be quite hard to get, like, a can of pumpkin. Mm. But you generally get them in, like, the American bit of supermarkets, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving. But it was really, really nice, like, really soft. Mm. And then the topping was lovely. I actually think if I was going to do it again, I would maybe put some extra salt just over the top of that, like, yeah. as it kind of set a little bit. But it was, yeah, really moist. Sorry if you hate that word. Claire Saffitz does it again, lads.
Oh, what a winner. Would you say, yeah, I might make, is it a lot? Is it a big serving? Was it a 9 by 13?
Yeah, it's 9 by 13, yeah, and it's full.
I might make that for a lunch I've got coming up. That sounds really good.
Oh,
a lunch. Cannot disclose the guest. No, it's the reason, Roberta. It's always that.
Yes, you should make that. I think it's delicious. You probably could have it without that sticky toffee top if you wanted, but it's not a difficult thing to make.
No.
And, I mean, I just made it today, so I'll try it cold, and I think it'd probably be nice.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. It can't be bad, right?
No.
Not with all those things in there.
It would be really nice with a scoop of ice cream. That's what I thought. I basically ate it for breakfast this morning, so I made it first thing. So I didn't have any ice cream with it, but I thought, you know, really lovely vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, when it's warm.
Perfect Christmassy dessert.
Oh, that's genius. I think what I like about that is that that is a dessert, right? Like, when you do gingerbread, sometimes it's kind of like, okay, now what? Like, what do I do with
it? Yeah, what's it for? Yeah.
That with the sauce feels like you could actually serve it as a dessert if you're entertaining or whatever. It sounds really, really nice. Was that your preferred of the two, would you say?
Yes. Yeah, all day. It was so nice. I was so happy that I found it because there is a TikToker.
Oh, yeah.
who I love. and who, if you're on foodie TikTok, you may have seen. Let me find her name. I know that on Instagram she needs a snack, but she's just started working for Bon Appetit actually, and I send it to you all the time. She's, hi, I'm a full-time food writer in New York City, and here's what I ate this week. And I will like every one of her videos. I don't care what she's eating this week because she's brilliant. But she works for Bon Appetit now. But she had this pumpkin gingerbread somewhere in New York over the last month or so. Ooh. And I was like, that looks great. I want it.
Yeah.
And then Claire Seffertz provided for me.
Seffertz. Well, it's right after her life.
And like all Claire Seffertz recipes, I believe that it will be on her, like, YouTube. If you just Google it.
Yes.
She has a video talking through it. So you can find it there and you should make it.
What a babe.
What a babe. Love her. Would you like to talk about what you made?
Yes, so we're going to do a gear switch now, friends.
Ooh.
Buckle up. Vic just mimed a steering wheel, much like a child. You just want me to call you Puddin', don't you?
I can't drive. I don't know how.
But that was a big steering wheel you had, let me tell you.
I was pretending I was in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Anyway, so yeah, Vic's done kind of cakey gingerbreads. I've done kind of cookie gingerbreads. You with us?
It's complicated this afternoon.
From cakey to cookie. So everyone will know or have heard me bang on about the Ottolenghi soft gingerbread tiles with rum butter glaze. They are
heaven.
Tell me more. You wench. They're my ultimate Christmas recipe. They are a little bit involved in terms, shocker, Ottolenghi recipe involved, stop the press, but they are a little bit involved in terms of like the decoration and stuff and how to make them nice. So he makes them as these tiles with like a cookie stamp. I've made them before like that, but I've also just done plain old like rounds. If it's just, you know, nobody's going to see them. You're not putting them on Instagram. They're still delicious, but yeah.
Why does anyone make anything if they don't put it on Instagram?
No idea. Absolutely not. But these, he says in the intro, these are from the book Sweet, my favorite, dessert baking book ever, with Helen Goh. But he says that they're inspired by the tartine gingerbread cookies, which I think you've made, right?
Yeah, I made them in preparation for this episode. But the Ottolenghi ones are very similar, and because they're inspired by, they have a different glaze. The tartine glaze is just icing sugar and water, like a thinner version of that. So it's not like a flavored one.
Okay.
But yeah, they make this like soft cookie that is lovely.
Yeah.
Very, I mean, you'll talk about yours, but the tartine one, very peppery.
Yes. These are
has like two, I think it was like 2 teaspoons of ground pepper.
Holy moly.
It's a massive, like all tartine recipes in that book, it's a huge recipe that just gives you more gingerbread than you can ever ask for. But yeah, and also has corn syrup in it, which I imagine the Ottolenghi one doesn't have in it.
No.
Because that's not an ingredient that we get here.
No. So, yeah, well, I'll talk about these and you shout if anything was different in the tartine one. But it sounds like they're really similar. So they are, it's treacle or molasses again for this one. So you put butter, sugar, treacle into a mixer and then you beat it until it's smooth and then you add in an egg yolk. And then, yeah, you sift dry ingredients into a bowl and they are flour, bicarb, ground ginger, ground cinnamon, ground cloves, cocoa powder, salt, and freshly ground black pepper.
Pudding.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Black pudding. Oh,
that's gross. It's like the Rachel trifle. Cream, sponge, beef sautéed with peas and onions. Then you tip all those dry ingredients into the mixer with the butter and treacle in there. And then you, that kind of all comes together. You knead it gently. or you need it as much as you want.
I knead aggressively this recipe.
I knead needly. And you roll out the dough. So it's about 6 millimeters thick. And if it's soft, you need to chill it. I've always found that it is quite soft at this point. So I've always had to stick it in the fridge, which is what kind of makes this. I feel like there's a lot of chilling, baking, wait for it to cool, make the icing, do the thing, so it can be like a little bit involved.
So the tartine one, just to say here, they demand that you chill it overnight.
Of course.
That you put it into a block that is, you know, a rectangle that is a certain size, and then you have to chill it overnight wrapped in cling film.
I think they're probably right. They do, there's chilling required in the other one that I did, which I'll get onto. But then you bake at 190. So it says to dip, this is if you're using a stamp, so you dip the biscuit stamps. He's got very lovely ones with, like, you know, different stars and kind of, yeah, I don't know, mostly stars. they look nice. You dip the biscuit stamps into a little bit of flour, shake off excess, and then you press them into your sheet of dough to create an imprint. And then he says how far you need to press. It depends on the stamp and whatever. But the biscuits do rise when they're cooked. So I found that it's like nigh on impossible to get like a very, very perfect looking cookie. But they still always look really pretty. So he uses a stamp and then a cutter. So then he goes in with the cutter to cut out the pieces of the bread, and then you put them on lined baking trays. They don't tend to spread very much, but they do puff up a little bit. And then you just bake them for like 9 or 10 minutes, rotating halfway. And then while they're in the oven, you're making your glaze. So there's two options for the glaze. You can use rum or lemon juice. I've used both, and both are great. Rum is like a fun kind of slightly boozy addition. But you sift icing sugar and cinnamon into a bowl, and you add in melted butter, the rum or the lemon juice, water, and you mix it till it's smooth. And then you remove the biscuits from the oven, let them rest for 5 minutes, and then you brush the glaze all over with a pastry brush, and you let them cool completely. And they are so delicious. I've made them for loads of people. I've made them for you, haven't I?
Yeah, I feel like I remember them so, so well. And
yeah,
they're great.
They're great. For me, they have more like complexity with the spice than the second recipe does. But yeah, it's a bit of a faff because it's like the ground cloves and pepper. Like even trying to grind a quarter teaspoon of black pepper like takes ages in like your run
and like
of the
how
mill
you're
milk.
Catching it like I,
it's awkward, so it just takes a while to get kind of all your ingredients ready. But these are really, really delicious and worth the effort, I would say, and they're very pretty. So I think if I had to choose like between the two recipes, these are good ones for like if you're giving them as gifts or like bringing them to the office or like whatever, bake sale or whatever. They look so impressive and they're really, really, really delicious. So I love them very much.
But and they're so soft, aren't they? That's the defining feature for me of these ones.
Yeah.
Like they're soft, and so they just feel like no other gingerbread you've ever eaten.
They feel like no other gingerbread you've ever eaten. No, they don't. They're really special. I just like the poetry of that. They're really delicious. I remember a Christmas that I spent with my sister in Abu Dhabi, and I ended up like making just batches and batches because we were just going through them every day. They're really, really good. And similarly, on a kind of similar vein, I made the Dory Greenspan ones, which
Dory,
I thought, who's going to have a good cookie for this kind of thing? Our girl Dory, and we haven't talked about it for ages. And this one comes from her book, something about cookies. Dory's Cookies. Wow, that was hard to remember.
Oh, that's, is that quite a new one, I think, for
I think
hers.
It's 2016. This recipe, yeah.
Only 8 years ago.
This recipe is on thekitchen.com. Kitchen without the E. Kitchen.
Kitchen,
and it has a lot of the similar recipe ingredients, but it's just a lot more straightforward, and I feel like it was really, really quick to come together. I did basically everything in the bowl of the stand mixer, so this one I think gets like top points for ease. So you beat butter, white sugar, and brown sugar in a stand mixer. Until they're kind of, yeah, she just says about 3 minutes. And then you add in a yolk again. They just love just like one egg yolk in these recipes. And then you add in molasses, ding, 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 or treacle. And vanilla. And you beat that until it's smooth. And then you add in the dry ingredients all at once. And they are flour again, cocoa powder again, a little bit more, I think, than the... Yeah, it's 2 tablespoons for this rather than 1 in Ottolenghi's. So I feel like these are a lot more chocolatey because they've got actual chocolate in them too. She says you can put in instant espresso powder. I didn't have any, and she says it's optional, so I didn't. But I think that would be nice. Ground ginger, ground cinnamon, ground cloves, baking soda, and sea salt. So you put all that into the mixer as well. And then you just gather the dough into a, obviously mix it. Oh no, before you do that, you put in crystallized ginger. So it's double ginger cookies. You put in, she says you can use candied ginger or minced fresh ginger mixed with fresh sugar mixed with granulated sugar. I had that crystallized ginger that you and I used for cookies last year, probably. And that was nice because it's kind of like spicy and like sweet.
Chewy and like, yeah, it's another little texture, isn't it?
Oh, it's delicious. Yeah, you chop that up really finely and you chop up, she says semi-sweet or bittersweet. I use dark chocolate. And you chop that up and you put them in on top of your dough, kind of just mix it till they're all kind of distributed. Gather the dough into a bowl and then you refrigerate for at least 2 hours, she says. And then she says to use a cookie scoop, or you can use a rounded tablespoon full of dough for each cookie. I just kind of scooped a bit out with my hand and like made it into a bowl. We all know I like a like chonker of a cookie, so these were quite, I made them quite big. And you roll the dough in granulated sugar, which again is just easier than faffing around with a glaze, I think.
Yeah,
they're not the prettiest, but they are great. And so yeah, you roll it in sugar and you put it on your baking sheet. And then you kind of, she says to press it down a little bit. Use a jar or glass to flatten each bowl, or just press it. That's what I did. It was very handsy. And then you bake it for like 13 minutes. Again, I found this really hard to gauge when it was ready. She's like, they should be lightly set around the edges and softer in the center. So I took them out and they were still quite soft because I really just didn't want a tough cookie.
Yeah. Yeah, being a tough cookie yourself.
Yeah,
cookie.
Yeah, tough cookies need soft cookies. And you just let them rest for like 15 minutes, and that's it. You're done. And they were really good. They were kind of like a brownie-ish kind of texture.
Ooh.
They were quite cakey, and that's maybe because I really did only let them bake for like 13 minutes and my oven's a bit short. Mm. So they were probably like slightly under, but I didn't hate it at all. And the like sugar on the outside makes a nice kind of like little crispy crust. And the first bite I took into it was like right into like a big old blob of melted chocolate. And it was like, holy shit, these are great. And I really
like
them.
You don't see that with chocolate, do you?
No.
Hardly ever.
No.
Gingerbread.
I know, but it's actually really good because it's kind of like the spicy depth of flavour from all the other ones you've got going on, and the crystallised ginger. And then this kind of smooth, bitter chocolate coming in. And yeah, honestly, they were so easy and just really delicious.
They sound great.
Yeah, and I'd be hard pushed.
I want to make them.
I think you should make them. I think everyone should make them. I just think they're really easy and great. I'd be hard pushed like to me. Choose between. You are so easy and quite great.
I get that a lot.
I think they would really impress anyone who you made them for. So I don't know. These are like on a par for me. Papa, can you hear me?
Daddy? That's weird. Yeah, they sounded great. Well done.
Well, it didn't require a well done for me because they were just very simple. And yeah, I think they're great. I think everyone needs to get onto them. So I'm not going to be able to really tell anyone whether to do Ottolenghi or Dory. But I would say based on the time you have and how pretty you want them to look.
I agree. So with the tartine ones, what I found with like the glaze.
Yeah.
Is I feel like I didn't really need it for a start because it was just kind of icing sugar and water. It was just a normal. And then like, so I went to Copenhagen recently and I bought a cookie stamp.
Nice.
For this exact purpose. And I just felt like sometimes the glaze like pulled and it just didn't make it look very attractive. Yeah. Like, you know, but I thought the taste was lovely. And I said they were very peppery, but I feel like I liked that because it adds that kind of spiciness and you're not like, it's not cloyingly sweet because you've got all that treacle in there.
Yes.
But yes, they are a bit of a
faff
effort to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think
if you want to make them pretty,
You better
get with my friends. When I was making them, I was looking on Instagram for other people that made them and how they'd done their kind of patterns. Because,
yes.
And it seems like there's quite a lot. With the tartine ones, there's quite a contingent of like people that love to make them and make funny patterns. And just they were just using all sorts of things all over their house to make them. Like I saw one guy making like these beautiful patterns just with like Legos.
Like fun. Printing.
Yeah. And so I was looking for something, but I couldn't find anything. To do so. I just went on my merry way, but that's a fun thing to do.
Yeah, that I'm just not creative enough, I think, but they still are delicious no matter.
But those Dory ones sound great. We love her. Also, shout out to us, you know, being sustainable queens using chefs that we've used before on the podcast.
Yeah, that is the original mission of Cookbook Circle. I think the photo that I'm going to use for our Instagram post actually is when I didn't use a rum butter glaze, but I was just I was baking at the time in the cafe and I was a bit sad and I decided to hide in the corner and just spend loads of time icing these cookies, but just with like a stiff, like, white icing sugar and egg white icing, and then spend loads of time piping snowflakes onto them.
Oh.
So watch this space, the one time that I've made a pretty thing in my life. for the record, the two recipes that I made are online. So the Ottolenghi ones are soft gingerbread tarts with rum butter glaze, and they're on Epicurious. And then the Dory Greenspan ones, like I said, are double ginger molasses cookies, and they're on the kitchen.com. So go forth, lads.
Go forth. Was there any recipe, gingerbready recipes that you saw that you liked and banked for later?
Not really, because I think they err towards that like snappy ginger, like the men.
The men.
So I'm a bit picky about it. And typically I didn't think that I was a gingerbread lover. But here I am.
Yeah, same. But here we are.
With two ones that I love.
For a very untraditional one, which I was going to do if I had time, but I didn't, that Nadia Bakes has this recipe for turmeric and ginger diamonds.
Oh, I've seen that before.
And it's definitely not like a traditional gingerbread, but it's kind of cakey and it's got ginger and it's got tahini in it. Ooh. And it's topped with pine nuts.
Wow.
And all this stuff. And I just thought, you know, if you wanted something a bit different, but still got that like ginger taste that's in there, and I'm sure it's online.
Is it gonna work though? Sorry.
Yeah. but you maintain that, you know, your favorite cookies ever come from this, chocolate chip ones came from this book, right?
Yeah, they were good. The ones with, yeah, the almond extract that I left out. But yeah, that's yeah, it.
I haven't made it, so I can't comment, but
yeah.
I thought that those like flavors, tahini, turmeric, ginger,
yeah,
lovely little.
Like a Middle Eastern-y kind of take on it. Delicious.
Yeah. I think because she cuts it into diamonds, it's got that real, like, look of, like, baklava or something.
Yeah, exactly. But listeners, we'd love to hear which ones you like. And if you like to
are
make men...
Are you a cakey or a cookie?
If you're a cakey or a cookie, a manny, a housey, that's okay too. There's space for everyone.
And if you're a housey, do you eat the house?
Yeah, I know.
After?
I don't know. Would you go in for the roof first? Like open mouth?
I just feel like it's hurt my teeth.
Yeah, I don't think anyone eats the house, do they? Well,
no. This is why Cadbury saw an opportunity.
An opportunity.
Opportunity, and they made that little Cadbury bar house that they brought out for Christmas that you can like buy the set to make out of Cadbury's chocolate bars.
Oh yeah, that is a good opportunity.
Good opportunity. But that's it. Happy Christmas.
This is our penultimate episode of the year. We're gonna bash out another one before it Christmas is. You betcha we are. It's been a long day, lads. And I had a coffee right before.
I want a coffee.
Oh, well, you're on coffee duty for Christmas, so you better get your practice in.
Hopefully I can have one before then, yeah.
Are you going to make those coffees Irish was what I wanted to ask at the time. Are you an Irish coffee fan?
I feel like we're not. No, I'm not an Irish coffee fan because Baileys. Does it have to be Baileys?
No, it's whiskey and then you put cream. Oh, cream might put you off.
Cream.
Yeah.
What
a life.
The answer is no. I'm more a, you know, Bucks Fizz kind of girl.
Yeah.
In the morning.
In the morning. Most mornings.
Most mornings. I'm very classy in my alcoholism. But yes, we're bashing out another one before Christmas.
Yes, and it's going to be a wild card, like this whole season.
No, we want to answer your questions.
We want to answer your questions. About what?
Or queries, or queries, troubles.
Or troubles. Or... Like an agony aunt episode. Oh my God, yeah. Can we please be agony aunts?
Yes, dear cookbook circle, my pie filling is... soggy. I don't know. I've got nothing.
Oh, I thought it was going to be about actual life. Like,
my God, please. I'd actually rather they sent it about real life because I feel like I'm very unqualified to handle cooking questions.
You are not. But I'm very unqualified to answer life questions. Mine's a bit of a mess.
No, it's podcast, not.
No. No, I mean, I talked about my deepest fears. You've got fears.
Wreath on your door. That's classic shit together behaviour.
Yeah, you're right. I'm a put together gal. Got it all under control.
Well, we'll be answering Hannah's queries first on the pod. She'll bring her first query and then the floodgates will open.
The number of times I've sounded like I'm having a breakdown on this podcast. Anyway, thank you for listening, friends.
And send us your queries, issues, personal or cooking related, or Christmas related, present related.
Present related.
Oh. I feel like we're very good at choosing presents for people, cookbook presents or cooking presents. I feel like we're good eggs at that.
We'll be out. It'll be out on the 21st. So if you're really struggling, we've got you 3 days before you need it. 4 days.
We love including you. A Sunday, that isn't it? Yeah, we love you. You know, well, some people are last minuters.
I'm a last minuter. I haven't gotten any.
I get a very quite serious buzz of going shopping on Christmas Eve. Like, just, I love it. Like, being in the buzz of it.
Oh, you little sadist. That's horrendous. Mm. I wouldn't, yeah. I couldn't deal with that pressure. Isn't there then nothing left? I just went to buy baubles yesterday and there's no baubles anywhere. And it's the 4th of December. Not to put in my pocket so that I can rub for the rest.
You've got your conkers for that.
We have to go now. Thank you for listening.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.